If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
There it is. Don't adjust your screen. I guess if you're on the stream, don't adjust your computer. I don't even. I guess it was, usually I would say your TV. But thinking of back when you had old black and white TVs, you had to tune it in. Back in the day, that doesn't happen at work anymore.
Your daddy sent you to adjust the screen.
No, well, he went. Well, what I did, what we did, is since the statute of limitations is well gone, is that we used to borrow cable from our neighbors.
Borrow. You said borrow.
Yeah, we had to borrow. It was on an assumption that it was community cable.
There's a legal word for that, Jay. It sounds like
stealing cable,
it
man.
It sounds basically like the Pittsburgh baseball organization.
Yeah, we had to get that, man. Anyway, you see it right here. The OGs, the old school, Jay Foreman, DP, Harrison stepping in on the ones and twos. DP.
Yes, sir.
We are obviously knee deep in camp. Doesn't matter where you're at, whether you're in Pee Wee League or youth football, I guess that they call it right now, high school, college, and obviously the pros. Heat is upon us, but then obviously at all the four of those levels, everybody, you know, it was a world championship when you played youth football, thought you could win the league, mm-hmm. right? Or county or whatever, you know, PG County where I'm from and all that.
Yep.
Or, you know, high school, you have aspirations to you know, winning state, you know, whatever state you're at, or conference titles, so forth and so on. And then obviously on the college and the pros, and everybody has the same feeling right now. A lot of optimism, hope, belief, you know, and then obviously you want to validate that probably on a day-to-day basis. And then obviously you want to validate it obviously in front of however many people you perform in at a later date. Right now, obviously we're in Husker country, DP. And I don't know if you heard Coach Butler. Said it was good for Nebraska defense to go up against a veteran offense and so forth and so on. Your experience as a head coach, you know, obviously just by seniority, sometimes you have a lot of guys coming back in offense and defense. How does that help the team or the part of the team that's trying to get that efficiency and continuity going while they're learning the do's and don'ts of training camp?
We used to work from this is that every day we would draw a new line on the board. Every day is a new line. That's where it's where we are. We would cross it, right? Yeah. This is where we are currently. Offense, we're at 6. Defense, we're at 4. At the end of the day, defense, you better not be at 4.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, offense, you better not be at 6. It's training camp. You're trying to get better. and you measure it every single day. And it, the defense has no excuse. Don't tell me that all the old heads are on offense.
Right. Tell yeah, I don't think better. It's an excuse. I mean, I think it's.
Well, you want to
I've
say.
I've been there. I've yeah, been there before.
But don't you want yeah. It's like you used to talk about Houston the first year. You knew defensively.
Oh, we had a pitcher shut out.
Right. You knew.
But the quarterback was getting paid the most of the team.
Right. And so you wanted to measure up and say, listen, you guys are working on your craft because you know how good you have to be.
Right.
For the team to win.
Mm-hmm.
But you also know how good you can be as a group. You work from a different standard. You also know that your standard is going to dictate how quickly young David Carr gets better.
Mm-hmm.
He has to get better. One, you're not going to let him be terrible. You can't let him be terrible. It's going to affect your paycheck.
Ideally, yeah. I mean, I think it's, you know, to be honest with you, I wish the college football model was in effect in Houston. I think it's, you know, they changed in the NFL. You know, you had, you know, when you got a head coaching job, you could blow up the whole team and, you know, you could sit around for 3 or 4 years. Now in the NFL, you know, they expect you to be Dan Quinn or whoever has that first year success. So you don't have that leeway of 3 or 4 years, just like you see sometimes first, second, and high third round draft choices get either cut, traded, or benched very quickly. You know, DP knows this. Guys that were drafted in the first round, you know, they didn't have to start right away. So the league changed, you know, from when I came in to obviously towards the end. Guys in that, you had to earn your way onto the field. Then in the middle of my career, first round picks getting paid so much, you had to play them because a lot of them were the highest paid at their position, hadn't played yet. That's the same thing that happens in college where guys that come out of high school are, if they come out as a five-star and they a quarterback, you're going to be highly compensated. Offensive, we've seen Texas Tech, or you know, really – you know, setting the mark. And so, you know, DP's right. I think you have to have a new standard at every practice. You want to have a tempo setter, but then also I think, you know, I've been on both sides where, you know, okay, for instance, when Tommy Frazier left, we had a lot of guys that had played a lot on defense. You were breaking in a new quarterback. That doesn't mean we took it any easier on them. It actually helped them, you know, raise, you know, with Scott coming in and learning what it's like to be a starter, to raise up their, you know, level of play as an offense in general. And I think there's always a learning curve too, is I've been it to where I had to replace Troy, you know, Dumas, and he'd been in there. So everybody knew exactly who he was. You'd see number four out there, how he operated. And here there was a learning curve when I stepped in along with Grant and Jason being full-time starters. And then once you get through that, like kind of, I always say you're up in the middle of the clouds and you're waiting to get to the top in the sun. You just got to be real steady and have a new standard every day. And you also have to be willing to take your lumps, but then also learn from it. It can't be an excuse. It's got to be a learning, like, okay, you're going to get smoked. There's times in 95, the greatest team of all time, the offense rolled us. We couldn't stop those. I mean, it was, and I know Coach Osborne over there smiling like, yeah, this offense is rolling. But I best believe that next day, the offense, you know, they, you know, we had to get a little get back. And there was times that we won the first part of practice. We had to start practice over. There's sometimes they did. And so you like that back and forth, and it helps, you know, good competition, healthy competition, I think is really good.
Yeah. I mean, it's a constant resetting of standard.
Yeah.
And if you're aspiring to the 95 team following the 94 team, which followed a group that had some real hunger pain. Right. Yeah. You had some real stuff to deal with, some hangover. Like, let me get rid of this. We ain't never going through this again.
Yeah.
And once you figure it out, then we're never going to go below that. Yeah. We cannot go below. I would have paid money to go back and been at the 96 team practices. Cause those meetings and those practices had to be something. There was some verbiage going on. There were some word combinations going on in 96.
Yeah, 96 was a team that was, you know, you just caught in the middle. I think, you know, 96 team was not as, you know, obviously not as dominant, obviously, as 95, but immensely talented. I mean, I think more talented than 94. And, you know, we let ourselves down. I mean, you would probably really like to be in 97's camp. That was war. And there was no turning back because of what DP said. Unfinished business. And I think where Nebraska's at is a good place. You know, they got some success. They probably feel like they left some meat on the bone, like a lot of coaches, do. I mean, you know, Ohio State feel like they left some meat on the bone. Mm-hmm. They Ohio State felt like they should be 16-0. You got to think the Oregon game, and you need another second or two to maybe kick that game or kick that field goal to win, and then playing way too tight against Michigan,
mm-hmm.
Right? And then after that, you played like the roster was supposed to play. And there's plenty of other teams like that. So now you have to make sure that you don't dwell in the past, but you just use it to kind of keep you moving forward. And that can help you reset the standard. Okay, this is the ceiling of the floor, you know, what we need to do on a work day-to-day basis. And now we got to make sure we continue to raise that up so where there's not a big gap between our apex or and then our bottom. When you do that, that's the 85% rule. And that's where Nebraska is trying to get to. And defensively, I think going up against a quarterback that you know that's a year under his belt in a full, I guess, offseason with their offensive coordinator, got some new weapons, probably a little bit more veteran and real, you know, reliable weapons. You got Barney, who's another year in this system, where they can kind of divvy up the route combinations and what they want to do and how they want to attack teams. Probably a little bit more athletically gifted offensive line as a whole if you take the
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
5 from last year to this year. And then so the defense is it got good stiff competition, which I think is really good because it allowed them to gel faster. I think they got talent to do so. They got enough veteran presence to do so. I think playing against a well-oiled machine or potentially well-oiled machine helps you, you know, move a lot faster. When DP is referring to in Houston, it was such a huge gap between the defense and the offense. And also, what they thought was going to be the offense was drastically different than the people that played the PSLs and bought those seats. Because the people that bought the seats, right, and played for season tickets, mm-hmm. thought Tony Boselli was going to play. There was always the chance. He wasn't playing. They thought Ryan Young was going to play. The big tackle from actually played at Kansas State was at the Jets. He didn't play. So your two bookends that's supposed to protect your franchise quarterbacks was never going to play. And then obviously it took a couple of years to get a Hall of Fame receiver in Andre Johnson. And then we were even Steven in training camp, you know? And so that's where I think Nebraska's at. And that's what a lot of teams across the nation is facing. I mean, you got teams that, you know, we were there, heard PJ Fleck felt like they were two or three games from getting the college football playoff. I think the expansion of 12 has expanded actually, you know, larger than 32 teams DP. I think, realistically, the top, let's just say 44 teams can find a way to convince themselves and realistically get into the deep conversations of being in it if you're not in it.
Would Indiana have been last year?
Right. Like they would have been outside of.
Yeah.
They would have been what? 70th?
Probably.
Right. And so there's a way to get in there if you really, you know, you get guys that believe and you've done the offseason work. And you win some games, and you might have to win a couple games you're not supposed to. But if you get on a winning streak, it's opened up a lot of, you know, avenues for teams to get into the college football playoffs. Now, on the flip side, Brian Kelly and Elko and Lane, it puts more pressure on them when SMU makes it, when Clemson kind of makes it on the down low,
Arizona State.
Let's say Iowa State wins, mm-hmm. they get in, right? And then Indiana makes. And you can say Notre Dame, you know, people always probably respect Notre Dame. They don't fear Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame probably put a little glimpse of fear into people last year where they was like, okay, this is a different vibe in Notre Dame's football program. Don't you think, DP?
Yeah, I mean, they're there.
Yeah, but right.
Like, they're there. We know they recruit. They know they have resources. We know they have their own narrative creator. They got their own social media, their own network, their own everything.
Right.
So they're close. They're always the next thing.
Right.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's okay. afraid of Notre Dame? Probably.
But do you think I wouldn't say afraid, but it's a little bit different type of respect, because Notre Dame has moved away from what you saw with Manti Te'o against Alabama.
Oh, 100%.
What you saw, you know, when they got broke off by Clemson. Mm-hmm. And it was that game where I think Brian Kelly had him close, then he left. But then Marcus Freeman, you know, he took them into Texas A&M last year and won in a dogfight. He beat Penn State in a physical game, right? And they were close enough to Ohio State where you can say, okay, they surprised us a little bit. So you can't just think this is the same Notre Dame where they're a little bit more, I guess, nobody ever fears anybody when you get to, you know, the Final Four and eight in the college football playoffs. They're a little bit more realistically dangerous, I guess. Would that be a better description?
Yeah, I mean, listen, they recruit well. They develop well.
Right.
Like, every year we get two or three Notre Dame players. We went, well, wait, when did this happen? Like, when did this dude become a Sunday guy? Right? And every year there's two or three of them because they invest. They recruit well, they invest, and then they do some smart things on the field. This is a weird year. It always reminds me to ask you the question, how many teams legitimately are playing with the actual talent and development to actually win the college football championship?
Let's just assume the talent gap overall isn't as wide as it had been in the past.
Okay.
Because of NIL or whatever. I think that's expanded the normal. On a normal year, like say like where the Bamas and all them kind of being able to hoard all the, you know, really good players, you know, it's probably about, I would say, 14 to 16 teams that are getting into this 12-team playoff. Now I think it's 28 legit. Now, when you're getting close to 28, you know, you gotta really play excellent. You gotta have style points. It's gotta look aesthetically good when you do stub your toe and take a loss. But there's realistically 28 teams that really can sit up, and or the coaches and administration can get up in front of their players, and then obviously the bill payers and say, okay, this is how we can make the college football playoffs, and it'd be realistic. And then also I think there's schools that you would normally think that would get in, right? The Oregons, you know, one of the teams, like whether it's Ole Miss, Texas A&M, LSU, Florida's probably thinking that they can come in some way that don't make it. I can convince you that this is just not you won't have enough style points, and you haven't built up enough recent equity to get there.
Notre Dame,
and Notre Dame, I think, is always in that mix because they're independent and they can control their own destiny.
10-3, 12-1, 11-2, 10-2, 11-2, 9-4, 10-3, 14-2.
Yeah, so but I think they're always in there because they have Notre Dame has the perfect schedule where they have some cupcakes. Then obviously they were really able to handle Army and Navy last year, which were really good teams. And then they always play, you know, late in the year against good teams. But then they're the group of five are the ones they're head and shoulders. And they did something last year that not a lot of people thought they were able to do. They validated that Texas A&M victory, which looked different. Now, it looked just because Marcus Freeman had extra medium pants on. It wasn't just that. It was a different-looking Notre Dame game.
Super medium.
Right? And so
think about it. He's stacking this thing up at 33-8.
This is a big year for him and – I wouldn't say Indiana, Notre Dame in the same boat, but they're – him and Marcus Freeman and Indiana as a program are in validation mode. I think Marcus Freeman will validate. Indiana is a little bit different where you had the Cinderella and then it became the expectation really quickly, right? Because they Kirk's the next. They look, we're better coached. We don't have to practice all the time. We're better than all these guys. He'd give you stats. He got on ESPN on the pregame show, and Nick Saban was like, dude, I didn't teach you to talk like this or talk about junk and to be somewhat disrespectful. And then they laid an egg in primetime against Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
So that's everybody's lasting memory. Everybody's lasting memory of Notre Dame. Everybody's lasting memory of Notre Dame is what? Taking Ohio State in a national championship game all the way to the brink.
But I think the bigger thing is that they won 3 college playoff games last year.
Right.
Like, we don't even know how to process Notre Dame that way.
Exactly. That's why they're viewed a little bit more in a dangerous.
Especially after the upset loss. Everybody kind of checked Notre Dame as, well, they'll get in.
Same old Notre Dame.
Right? Yeah. Same old Notre Dame. They'll get in. They'll lose. Knock off, knock off, knock off. And then a brawl with Ohio State.
Yeah.
I would say if you're not afraid, you're not paying attention.
Right.
14-2 is 14-2. Yeah,
if you're not respecting what they're doing and the way they did it. And they won in different ways, though, too. Yep. And that's probably, what is probably, got people's attention a little bit more than normal, right? It's not Notre Dame had to get up for one game, beat USC, and then they kind of backdoored their way and get blown out. No,
they beat some folks, and it wasn't
easy. And so that's where you go to Indiana real quick, DP.
It's your boy.
I just wonder with them, they look so different against, and I can't, I'm not, I won't say it's the, was the weather. It was a little bit of elements. They just looked, I think they got a little bit too relaxed, and they didn't have a game, in close enough proximity to keep their iron sharp. And they looked just on their heels the whole time. You saw them dropped wide open passes.
Brand new.
Yeah, but it was brand new situation for them. So it'd be interesting if they will use that as fuel and then be able to validate their season. And they don't have to go 11-1 again. They just can't look like the Indiana of the past that brought Kirk Cignetti in town.
I don't think anybody in the Big Ten wants to be above that 2-loss mark to be in that contender series.
Right.
Don't do that to yourself. That's asking too much. And it doesn't really matter who the 2 losses are. Like, you can lose to the 2 big boys. If you got Ohio State and Penn State and you lose to them both,
yeah,
that's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem. So.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's going to be interesting to continue to look at and work through the process.
Here's think about this. They open it at Miami.
L.
Right? They open at Miami.
That's an L.
Look at Foreman and the Miami Hurricane contingency speaking up. Like, he went full on you under the desk. He's got the U going.
Yeah.
Then they host Texas A&M in a night game at home. Oh, Purdue in-state rivalry. Dangerous Athletic Arkansas. Boise State. Why? Why would you get them on the schedule?
Marcus Freeman, I'm glad he signed that extension.
Right. Why? Then you bring in NC State. You play USC at home. Travel to Boston College. That's never good.
Right.
You host Navy. So, okay. But you also know it's going to be physical and you're going to be tired and exhausted. You go to Pittsburgh.
Again.
Host Syracuse. And then you go to Stanford.
Oh, they ain't making it.
That's done. A schedule. Like,
they cook.
That's pretty brutal.
Like Paul Pierce says, they cook.
That's the schedule.
Yeah, they're cooked.
And I think that's actually the story. Is that same with Nebraska. That the schedule will tell the story of the season.
Yeah.
That everything lines up for Nebraska, whether they aware or looking forward, looking ahead or not, that schedule looks decent. If you look at Ohio State's schedule, you go, oh, okay. Y'all gonna have to earn this one.
Yeah. It's validation season. So anyways, we're gonna validate some of our sponsors. We'll take a quick break. Jay Foreman, DP, Old School, back again. We'll be right back.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
There it is. They said that Brock Lesnar is coming back on WWE.
Jeez.
And Old School is back in full effect. Brock Lesnar might get the take delay though. He got some stuff he got to deal with.
Your stuff Vince don't matter.
Yeah, Vince McMahon. But
hey, they don't matter. Not in that space.
I know, right? That's just part of the HR manual. But anyways, you know, back to the football season. You know, it's a very unique time in camp because you're so close to the season yet so far. It's not hard to keep working, but it's very hard to keep your focus on, you know, what, like they say, is where your cleats are. Because, you know, look, you got a game coming up, you know, you're excited because you hadn't played in almost a year, or a little, you know, a little bit less than a year. And then you get a chance, you've worked hard, you want to do all the right things and go out there and you know, show what you got as a team. But you also know you can't put your best foot forward unless you go through the meat grinder, which is, you know, right now. And so it's a unique process to go through as an individual, as a player, but then also as a team. And then as obviously, you know, you're out there trying to, you know, solidify yourself position wise, but then also come together as a team. It's a very, you know, very unique process to go through, where the majority of the teams are going through it. And even the teams that we think that are going to be really good, Texas is going through it. Right. You have it. You're just losing a 2-year starter. No matter where Quinn Ewers got drafted, he was your starter for the last 2 years. You lost two offensive linemen. One of them was picked in the top 15, I think, in Big Banks. Lost a receiver. You lost three players on defense. And then you're welcoming, and then you're starting a family legacy, legendary, or potentially, well, everybody thinks, you know, already kind of somewhat legendary quarterback that everybody's like, okay, we're waiting for this to happen or waiting for this guy. Right. I mean, you got to think everybody's going through their whole process just in different forms.
Who knows? I think this was part of being a Big Ten football media and that what we knew versus what we think we knew. Right. That we can look at Ohio State. We knew what we were looking at. That's yeah. One of the few programs, the few groups that walked through there. We went, oh, yeah, we know who that is. Like, we know who that is. We didn't know Michigan like that.
I did. I knew the old boy. I knew exactly. If you ask me if there's a head coach that's a former offensive lineman that would have a suit with slash skinny jeans on with narrow shoes with no socks, I would say it'd be Moore.
Yeah. 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 Well, I mean, you know, Loxley came through. He came through.
Yeah.
Loxley came through with the red.
Yeah. Loxley came through. Like he, you know, was, hey, sit down, let's have, I just warmed up some cognac and got, you know,
right,
like he was, cigar. Like gangster.
Good to see.
Yeah.
Good to see.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think you're right though. How teams went through Big Ten, and it was definitely a different setup, but you were able to see how they went through.
Do we know who Penn State is? Because I don't think they're last year's Penn State team. I think Penn State makes the adjustment that Notre Dame made a year ago. Like the difference between 2 years ago Notre Dame and last year's, that's what happens to Penn State this year. Because I said it. Penn State, if you're winning the Big Ten football media, Penn State won the Big Football Ten media because they dressed the part. They walked together. They talked together. They stayed together. At no point did you see anybody from Penn State by themselves. The whole 2 days they were there, they walked as a unit. They talked as a unit. They dressed as a unit. And I just went, okay. Like, that was on purpose. That hasn't been the way that was.
Yeah, and I think with Penn State, it's been trending this way. I think Drew Aller is the highest-rated player since Christian Hackenberg. I think Christian Hackenberg was the guy. And he's gotten better. They were able to, I think they, you know, we're saying DP that they're kind of using the Ohio State model. We'll pay you to come back and have a veteran productive roster coming back. And you got two NFL running backs. You always know that they got to have a good offensive line and a good defense. And they went out and hit the portal for the skill position guys. Now, granted, you got the ultimate equalizer was Warren, but I think they feel like they can distribute that differently. Yeah. You're not going to be able to replace them, but you're going to be able to try to find different ways to maybe be more explosive when you get into those big time moments. I will say on the flip side, I feel like they didn't scheme him up or get him the ball when they lost to Notre Dame. in the crucial interception by Drew Aller, the guy that was widest open was Warren. So it's not even a play calling thing; it's the execution thing. So if they take that big step, like DP says, mentally more than physically, they're going to be a problem because it's set up like as much like Nebraska's schedule set up for Nebraska to have a very successful season. It's set up for Penn State to not only have they're expected to have a successful season, but really make a huge leap in national attention and then obviously notoriety.
Yeah, I look at the Big Ten this year in thirds, right? So the top six, bottom six,
middle third.
We're not so sure.
So I want to ask you this. How many teams and who can go? Because I think there's going to be a team or teams that go from that high end of the bottom third and just the middle third, they're going to leapfrog some of the teams in the assumptive top third.
What do you think? Well, I'm a member of the club that I like quarterback adjustments for programs. And Billy Edwards Jr. changes Wisconsin. It allows Fickell to actually imagine some things that he hadn't been able to do for the last couple of years. And we know he'll have bodies everywhere else. Then he's got a dude. He's got a leader in that position. I love the fact that Preston Stone's at Northwestern. Like the SMU quarterback that put up the numbers that he put up against Texas talent last year.
Yeah.
Northwestern had a dude, a quarterback in the last 7 years that can play the way Preston Stone can.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to take much. Illinois is better. On purpose, they're better. Like, they put in the work. So, consider them top third. Who's the top six? Ohio State. Penn State, Oregon.
Put USC in there?
Michigan.
Just give Michigan.
Indiana.
Okay. And then it's?
Question mark.
Illinois, if you just look at
Illinois
preseason ranking.
Right.
Well, they won 10 games last year, too. So Illinois. Maybe it's South Carolina.
Right.
Yeah, Illinois. So that's your top six. And then that middle six is like Washington, Nebraska, USC. I guess you could say Rutgers, right?
Well, we never want to go against the boss. Like, we never.
And then, so that's four.
We never want to go against the boss because he'll come find us. He'll come find us, and it won't go well.
Who would be the other ones in that middle six? I think.
You say UCLA already?
Iowa.
Iowa, for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Minnesota. So that's your middle six.
Yep. And then everybody else.
Yeah.
Then everybody else. And one of each six could flip-flop and switch. We don't know which one each year. We never know. We could not project Indiana being who they were, and we certainly didn't predict Illinois was going to be who they were.
No.
Right? So, and then nobody was substantially worse than we thought they were going to be. Like, we weren't surprised by any of the results from last year, right? We weren't surprised. Oh, my goodness. You know, Northwestern was terrible last year. Yeah. No, we're not surprised by that. Rutgers being where they were, competitive, but not necessarily
turned it on at the end.
Right. Not necessarily the answer. So I think that's where we are this year is that when you look at what can be done, if Nebraska moves into the top six, things have gone incredibly well.
Right. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Right. Not surprised. Also, if Nebraska slipped to the bottom six, not surprised.
I'd probably be more surprised than that. I mean, I think Nebraska stays pat or gets into that top six.
Harrison, what do you think? Is if Nebraska is in the top six, are you surprised?
Yeah, I'd be pleasantly surprised. I'll be honest.
Right?
I gotta see it to believe it.
But if they slip to the bottom six, you would surprised or no?
That would shock me more if we just all of a sudden lost everything.
I'm like Harrison, I'd be pleasantly surprised. I wouldn't be like totally shocked based on who they bring back in the schedule.
I mean, it's beating Maryland on the road, Northwestern, Michigan State, like two of those are on the road, right?
UCLA.
Yeah, the USC, UCLA.
Do you beat State, UCLA on the road? Like, you have four true away games.
And UCLA's got Nico Malava now, too.
Right, so four legitimate away games in the Big Ten Conference. Four. You're not surprised by if they win or lose any of the four.
Who's the four? It's only the only two really road games they got is Minnesota and Penn State.
Yeah, but are you fully surprised if they? I mean, last we saw, they didn't look good against Maryland.
They beat Maryland.
Said that when Maryland came here.
I think last time we played Maryland, we lost 10-13 2 years ago.
That was here.
They had Tua's brother. They
Johnny Holiday never lets me live it down. Like every time I get a text,
they beat Maryland. They're beating UCLA. And who else they got?
So they go to Maryland,
Northwestern.
Here's the problem with that. Their first two away games. At Maryland on a Saturday, and then at Minnesota the following Friday.
That's why I said Minnesota and Penn State, the only two road games. They beat Maryland in College Park.
I don't know that happens. I don't know that happens.
Maryland's the quote-unquote trap game.
They're going to beat the brakes off of
them. And then you got UCLA.
They're going to beat the brakes off of them, too.
Deshaun Foster entered the chat and said, hey, man, last time I saw y'all, it wasn't a problem.
He did. They're going to beat them.
I was hoping that was more Eric Bieniemy's. Right, Foster.
They're going to be Minnesota's going to be a tough test because it's not even the talent. Again, they'll be talent. It's like the PJ Fleck.
It's the development.
It's such a bad environment.
Got him over there running up and down the sideline in between. It's just all the stuff that it's not even like the football game. It's the, we shot ourselves in the foot against them. You know, are they really this good? And then the game gets tighter. It's like PJ Fleck. I'm telling you.
No, we went there. We went to the game in Minneapolis the last time Nebraska went. And I want to say it was a Friday night game. And I'm telling you, I was just as disconnected and, what are we doing? Like, the fans weren't obnoxious. The tailgate was meh. Like, it was.
Yeah, it's not a road game in the sense of you going into a raucous environment.
Yeah,
it's a road game of, all right, this team Minnesota is always.
It's the fighting flex.
They play a style of football that condenses the game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like a boxer that kind of like grapples you all the time.
Well, yeah, it's throw hands and the dude takes you down.
Right.
It just holds you down.
And he gets your arm in
there.
They're
just playing for points, not knockout.
Right. That's and then right. you go, okay, I'm not going to let this dude take me down and just ride this thing out. 2 minutes into the round, takedown. Oh, crap.
You got to go out there and beat them. You can, because they'll go up and down the field. I mean, listen, the year that they had, they won like 10, 11 games in 19. South Dakota State beat the break tar off of them. They just had a linebacker in cover three forget to drop. And I cannot believe this. I hate saying it because somebody's going to probably Google and find it. Dude, you drop in the flat in cover three. You tackle the guy in there. The game's over. I'm talking about the game's over. It's cover three. You forgot to drop. You blitz. They throw it in the flat. Get a first down. Couple more plays later, touchdown, strike up the band, it's an automatic comeback.
And I don't know.
Then he went out to Fresno and won that game out there in like double overtime.
They got Purdue for homecoming the Saturday before the Friday night visit by the Huskers.
This one? Or Minnesota?
Minnesota. Minnesota plays, so when Nebraska goes to Maryland, Purdue goes to Minnesota for homecoming. So Minnesota will be at home chilling. Probably the starters got like the last two quarters off because it's Purdue.
That's And Nebraska get a homecoming too on the road against Maryland. Maryland's going to be horrible this year. I hate saying it because I like Mike Loxley. They're going to be horrible. Barry Odom already told me last time they were out there,
you know, they put up a 50 burger against Maryland. Last time they went to College Park, they ran Maryland out their own building.
Yeah, they're going to do it again.
Listen.
It's Minnesota and Penn State.
Okay.
And it's for different reasons. Penn State is literally the environment.
Mm-hmm.
First to take is, you know, it's all holy hell to fly there.
It's
right?
Tough.
Right? That's to get there. That's part of it. That's tough. When in Minnesota, it's kind of just, it's almost like they lull you to sleep. It'd be summertime. It'd feel like a fall day. Nobody there. The band's all off. The band's up in the top of the stadium. You know what I'm saying? The band's playing. It sounds like they in the parking lot, but they way up there.
They really put the band. Are you just saying that?
He's dead serious. And I felt like I was at a really good high school
game. At a high school game.
I felt like I was at a real, at that stadium, just the walk up, I managed to walk right into the middle of Nebraska's parent tailgate. And I was like, oh, y'all here. Like, hey, man, it's like you see your neighbors. It was like, hey, we're at the away game at high school. Lincoln Pius went to Southwest. And, oh, they went to North Star.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, Jay, how you doing, man?
The whole neighborhood. Yeah, they got like they got small tailgating for their family and alumni. Everything else is just a free-for-all.
And they didn't know how to tell you to get in. They didn't know how to tell you to get in. Like, it was also that Colorado thing where they weren't really trying to help you get to where you need to get to. Maybe because they didn't know. Like, it was that kind of – those kind of people working there is like, hey, Steve, he's trying to get to the sideline. What's the easiest way? It's the sideline. Yeah. How do you not know – tell somebody.
Yeah, it's not a hard environment. I mean, it gets loud, but it's not.
It's hard for the band, is what it sounds like.
Where the band is in like their so-called student section is like the farthest away from the field. So you know how they had the field goal there? You know when the Vikings played Seattle in the playoff game, that cold game?
Yeah.
Okay, that's closer to the sidelines than where they come out. They come out, man. It's like they run a half a mile to get on the field. The band's sitting over there.
I accidentally walked into the middle of the Huskers running out of the tunnel. That's how indifferent it was. That's how that, like, it was like, oh, hey, coach. how you doing?
Yeah,
my bad.
That's a nuisance game. More of a focus game. And so if they can get over the focus, they'll be all right. But we'll take a quick break. We're up against the clock. Jay Foreman, DP, Old School. We'll be right back.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Anyways, quick segment here. We're back. We're going to get on track. We got teammates coming up next. So,
yep, I'm sitting in for Demo.
All right. There you go. Teammates with DP. Once again, we're back again. Probably going to see more of this combination moving forward throughout the fall. Lots of laughs, lots of stuff going on leading up to the game. And then obviously, hopefully bringing some Huskers some good luck moving forward. So anyways, we're going to put a bow on this bad boy on this Tuesday. Jay Foreman, DP, my man Harrison, Old School.
Well, give me like 10 more seconds.
10 more seconds? Yeah, I'm looking. Well, listen, hold on now, Harrison.
Look at that, Clara. You got to wait. Harrison? The open bed
hasn't even finished. And you're just like.
Well, look. Normally,
5 seconds.
Normally,
then I can hit the button.
Normally, you are on time, right?
I didn't say squat and let you run that last segment all the way up to like 53 minutes.
Well, that's because DP's here. Right. And he was looking at me sideways.
Don't blame me. Don't blame me.
He's looking at me sideways at 58, and I wanted to be on time, man. Anyways, old school way. Jay Foreman, DP, and Harrison. We'll holler at you tomorrow.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.